woman's womb. And it comes from this discussion with Nicodemus. And so there's some people that evaluated it and trying to figure out what did Jesus say, because Nicodemus was asking a question, really. You know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, you can't see the kingdom, or you can't enter the kingdom without being born again. Well, here's Nicodemus here. He's not an uneducated guy. Scripture of Isaiah and explaining, here's the Messiah, that's what he's talking about, and now let me talk to you about Jesus. And then finally he says, oh, wait a minute, there's enough water, what would keep me from being baptized? Now I would hold on to a natural birth if those passages were not in the Bible. But what seems to be the evidence is that Jesus is saying, you know this mikvah? You must repent of your sin. You must receive forgiveness so that righteousness can be fulfilled. Follow me into the water, because I'm going to die for you. And as you follow me into the water, you die too. You need forgiveness. Follow me in the water, because I'll make a way for righteousness to start growing. I'll wash away all the pollution because of my blood that will be shed for you. And when Jesus come up out of the water, this I am well pleased, then we come up out of the water to please God with a new life and a new direction. Brothers and sisters who have already been taught about the symbolization of a repentance and forgiveness in water, you've got to remember this. It's not an and or. It's water and the Spirit, not water or the Spirit. What will make your baptism an and the Spirit is, are you making him your Lord? You might be living in an or type of baptism where you went down in the water and you got this attitude, well, I did it for repentance and forgiveness. Well, repentance means turning to God. And I think Paul catches up with us here, and he has to be blunt. He needs to be blunt, because the passage that Brother Bob read, they should have been already grown past some of the things that they were doing. They were still jealous of one another. They were still quarreling with one another. You know, when we are jealous of each other, or we make it a competition between each other, and we make it about who's better than the other person's kind of each other, I think Paul would say, you haven't grown up yet. Some of you should be already adults, but you're still babes. Any baby that comes up out of the water is a babe in Christ, born again. But any baby that stays a baby acts like one later. Right? They don't mature. If they don't get their way, if you steal my shovel out of my sandbox, I'm going to go steal your bucket out of yours. And we never grow up. That's why I believe we've got to be born of water and the Spirit. For true repentance to be seen, we must bear fruit in keeping with it. Your response to forgiveness adds a lot of joy to really hard situations. That's why James can say, brothers and sisters, you can find pure joy in facing trials of many kinds. Why? Why? You mean really? I can find joy in suffering? Yes, if you can remember you've been forgiven. Why would Paul, as Bob said, go through this journey and be beaten and stoned and all that and still find joy in preaching the good news about Jesus? I'd be tempted to quit. How about you? Why? Because he found joy in his salvation. That's where he found it. And he could remember that. And so there's where born of water and the Spirit both need to be birthed. How important is born of water? Well, it's important because it symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. But also, it's about repentance and forgiveness, and those two need to be into the equation. In order for one plus one plus one to ever become three, you need to have all three. I can't make one plus one equal three. I've got to have repentance, joy in my forgiveness, and born of his Spirit. And that Spirit is a righteous Spirit, a Holy Spirit. I believe that's what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Now, what compels him? Why did Paul go through these things? Here's where we jump in, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What kind of spirit did he have? You got to remember the time, who was Paul before Paul? He was named Saul. You know, I kind of believe that the reason why Jesus, or God, we found out this yesterday in Tony's teaching too, sometimes he renames body because that's your old self. Saul's no longer Saul, now he's Paul because of Christ. Listen to these words. Follow along with me, starting in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Therefore, all died. That's how you can learn how to love people who are just not lovable. That's how you can actually love the lost without practicing the sin with them. You got to remember, Christ died for everybody. I don't care what race you are, color you are, country you're from, Christ died for you. It depends on if we're living for evil or for good, being God. So he died for all that those, get this, this is the reason why Jesus died for you. He died for you, for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. What's he saying there? He's saying, to me, Kevin, if you truly believe that Jesus died for you, and you truly believe that his love was for you, then accept it to the point that where you will no longer live for yourself, but for him. For he died for you and was raised again. That's why we live a new life. That's why we need to be born of the Spirit. We can't leave the Spirit out of this thing. We can't. All we're going to do is go around saying, yeah, I believe Jesus existed, and we're not making him the Lord of our life. We just go on being grumpy and angry and quarreling and all that. And I'm still trying to get all that out of me. But I can't do it. I got to go to the foot of the cross and let Jesus' blood just smother me so that I can stop grumbling and complaining, so I can start seeing people the way God sees them. Verse 16, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You catch the word, it's a very, very blunt word. It's got two letters. What is it? If. What's if mean? Means if, right? You say you live for Christ, that's easy to say. But if you're actually living for him, you're going to live a new created person. The old is going to be gone, and now you get to find out what the new is. Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. He's bought us back through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave Paul the ministry to go and call people back to God. Get the sin out of their lives so that they could get back to the God's righteousness. And they must be born of water and the Spirit. Repentance, forgiveness, Spirit, righteousness. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we are making his appeal through us. We implore to you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I don't know how to explain or dive in other than just let those words talk to you. Let these words talk to me. God made Jesus, and he did not deserve the punishment that he received. But he was willing to go through it. Why? Because he had to deal with our sin. And if we would choose to make him Lord, we'll go to the cross for him, since he went to the cross for us. What happens at the cross? Well, the cross is a symbolization of the death of Jesus, the flowing of blood of Jesus. What does the blood and death of? Our sin. Not because it's just what he did, it's because I participate with him in it. That's what this is to symbolize. You're participating in your own death because he died for you. While you're buried, you get your sins buried and washed away. You receive forgiveness. You want to keep on repenting. So you come up out of the water, and now you're fresh and new, a newborn babe in Christ. Wow, I don't know about you, but that's the happiest moment of my life. If you ever been asked what's the happiest moment, I know your wife will get all over you. If you say the day that I committed myself to Jesus, she'd say, oh, okay, I benefit from that. The happiest day of our life should be every day of our life as we are following Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our own cross, and following him. Born of the Spirit means allowing God to fulfill his righteousness in us. God made him who had no sin so that in him we will be made his righteousness. Where are you? Are you trying to follow Jesus without making him your Lord? Are you believing in God without giving him full acknowledgement that he rules? Are you still living for yourself? Well, we're to die for that. We no longer live for ourselves if we're truly in him. We're good people. You know why you're good people? God made you in his image. We've been polluted by sin. But even good people sin. But what are we doing? Are we maturing? Are we still babes? Are we letting God conquer? Or actually, all you have to simply say, am I a more mature Christ disciple today than I was 10 years ago? That's all you have to ask, and just admit it. Are you still struggling? Absolutely. But are you more maturing? When the maturing process stops, what happens? Stagnant, and you may die. You want to keep on growing and maturing, even if it's one little thing. I don't know about you, but the production of the Spirit inside me is keeping with my repentance. All you have to do is go to Galatians chapter 5. How am I doing in love in the way that God loves? How am I doing in my joy? How am I doing in peace? How many say, and here's just the one I always get, how many agree you need to mature more in patience? Repent. Be forgiven. Learn how to be more patient because it's a production of your repentance. Go through some spiritual exercises. Since there's some people new here, I'll repeat this to the ones that keep coming. I know one guy said on the radio, the way that he had to learn patience is to put himself in places and times where he had to practice it in order to learn it. And the one, number one, was at the grocery store or at Walmart or whatever at Christmas time. You just go there. You want to learn patience, go to Black Friday. Right? And then when you get up to the counter, you don't go over and say, hey, sir, come over here. I'm opening up a lane. No. No, yeah, but no, you could be the first one. I don't want to be first anymore. Actually, Jesus tells me if I'm last, I get to be first. So I'm going to get in the back of the line. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to give an encouraging word to the person who is just rattled because everybody's chewing them out for being so slow. Next time you stand in front of a microwave, if you ever yell hurry, you're a babe in Christ. I'll leave it at that. All right. We're going to sing Love Lifted Me. Wasn't that crucial? We got to be lifted up. It only comes from the love that's been given to us through Christ. God said he'll promise to do this. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. That's why you need to be born of the Spirit. Because he'll give you a new heart and he'll give you his spirit. If you want to be lifted by love, do you have anything for us to pray about? This is the time to let us know. We're going to sing this together. Let's stay.